Hi, Paul Sackett's Good News Broadcast. We're going to talk about some new research from the American Society of Clinical Oncology. They had actually a virtual scientific program, and we have Dr. Roy Herbst. Hi, Doctor. Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Good morning to you, too.
Good. The Yale Cancer Center and the Smilo Cancer Hospital, both of which are renowned for the important work that you do. And we're going to talk about lung cancer today and the concerns about it. You know, Doctor, and some new research that is helpful for. Can I ask you one question? Because it almost seems, I don't understand why. It says 228,820 adults, 116,300 men, 112,520 women. How can it be so equal almost? Is that kind of a weird comment, or is that the way it is, or why is that?
Well, you know, as opposed to breast cancer, which is most frequently diagnosed cancer in women, and prostate cancer in men, you know, lung cancer crosses, you know, both sexes. Actually, you know, it used to be that the disease traveled with smoking. It still does. About 80% of patients smoke, and you know, men smoked it at first, and then women picked that up, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And you know, it is about equal. But I will tell you that about 15 to 20% now of patients are non-smokers or former smokers, and for them, some of the newer therapies, like the one we're going to talk about today, are even more active. So it is common across the board. It's the number one cause of cancer death in the U.S. worldwide, and that speaks to the reason why we're constantly looking for new therapies for this disease.
All right. Well, I've learned some things here. So thank you. Non-small cell lung cancer, what does that mean?
Well, of the 200,000 plus cases you just mentioned, 85% of them are going to be non-small cell lung cancer. So it's the most common type. There's another type called small cell lung cancer, which is number two. But non-small cell lung cancer worldwide is the most common form of lung cancer. And the problem with the disease is it tends to spread so easily. More than half the patients have known spread or metastases of the disease at diagnosis. And then even patients where we remove the tumor by surgery, about 30% of those, 50 to 75% will recur within 5 years. So lung cancer is a very deadly disease, and we're constantly trying to raise the bar with new ways of treating it.
Okay. And do we have some new ways, and did you come up with some new discoveries?
Well, the data presented at the American Society of Clinical Oncology, normally we'd be in Chicago, but this year I was on a computer screen, speak to that. So this was a big trial called ADORA. It was developed in partnership with AstraZeneca. Investigators from around the world, colleagues in Asia, Europe, Australia, all over the place, the United States. Basically, it was a study that took the best targeted therapies in the advanced setting. So we know over the last 10 years, 20 years, that we can target something called epidermal growth factor receptor. And we have the third generation drugs that are well tolerated, that target tumors that are driven by this. And it's about 10 to 15% of the cancers, the lung cancers in the United States. And we're using these agents in the most advanced setting, and they improve survival. But now what we've done is we've taken those and we've partnered them, and we've brought this biology, we've brought these targets even earlier in the disease to people where the cancer has been resected, cut out. And what we've shown in this trial is that people that had these tumors removed, they had chemotherapy when appropriate. The chemotherapy works a little bit. As you know, chemotherapy can be quite toxic. And then the people were randomized to either receive this new therapy or a control, a placebo. Why a placebo? Because there was no standard of care. And the results as presented have shown an 83% decrease in recurrence in the patients who received this drug. 83%. Now, the hypothesis was this would work. We were bringing the best drugs to earlier disease. But this type of benefit was much higher than even investigators like myself with 20 years experience expected. And it really speaks to the fact that when you take your best biology and you move it earlier in disease, you can see the best results. So we were quite encouraged, and colleagues were encouraged, patients, and it helps, you know, because it brings new weapons to this fight against this disease.
Oh, by far. Is that the EGFR? Is that what that stands for?
Yeah, epidermal growth factor receptor. And for whatever reason, people with lung cancer, about 10 to 15% in this country, Actually, if you go to China or Japan, it's 20 to 30% or more of the patients. Typically, people who have not smoked or have smoked just a little bit have this abnormality. So that's the key here, the right drug for the right patient at the right time. So we have to figure out who has this abnormality. And that's why I hope that our data will get out to the community so that everyone with lung cancer needs to have their tumor profile. At the time of diagnosis, at the first time you're at that tumor board, like at Yale Cancer Center, we have a tumor board every Monday. The medical oncologist, the surgeons, we meet, we discuss each patient individually. We need to know not only what type of cancer, but the molecular basis of that cancer, because that will now actually now allow us to think about some of these newer therapies that I'm telling you about now.
So I got a buddy that had lung cancer just recently. And so are you saying, would they have checked for this kind of mutation?
It depends. If he presented in the advanced setting and it was non-small cell lung cancer, the answer is probably yes. Though incredibly, and you know, that's one of the problems with our health system, even in the U.S., only 70% or so of patients are being tested. We've got to make sure that this gets out there to all patients, regardless of insurance and means. And that's something that I hope, you know, interviews like this will promote. But if it was the earlier setting, the answer is probably no. This has not been the standard of care to do it because, you know, why do it? You know, some of these tests, you know, take more tissue. They can be somewhat expensive. Why do it if you don't have something you can do based on that result? You know, that's a principle of medicine. But right now, with these new data, I think that's going to be the new paradigm for epidermal growth factor receptor and other abnormalities.
So, doctor, do they take that test when? How do they take that test?
Well, you know, when you do a biopsy of a cancer, you know, you take a piece out and you analyze it under the microscope, or you remove a piece of lung, you analyze it. You know, typically we use a number of different, you know, classic techniques to determine is it lung cancer and what type of lung cancer. But now we're at level three. We want to know exactly what's causing that lung cancer to tick. What are the components that's causing that cancer to grow? We want to know, you know, what are the on and off switches? And for that, that's what we call DNA sequencing. We have to profile that tumor. We have to run it through a number of tests. Here at Yale, we do it ourselves. Many people send it out to outside laboratories. But having that information is power. That's the biology that allows us to then target the cancer in the most specific way. And one of the outcomes I hope will come from this trial, showing how well these new therapies are working, is that patients need to be profiled, because we won't find these patients unless we look for them. And there are a whole number of different targets. Epidermal growth factor is one. It's the first one. I was involved in this these trials 23 years ago. We did some of the first studies. But now there are 8 or 9 of these targets that are being used in lung cancer. So we're really making progress, and it's just great to see. And the beneficiary of that are patients with this disease. So they need to make sure they find centers where they are having their tumors profiled, where they are getting a multimodality approach, you know, where the team works together to find the best therapy for the disease.
Doctor, this number concerns me. About 40% of patients are diagnosed at a later stage of the disease. What does that mean? Does that mean that people are walking around with cancer and they don't know it because they don't have pain or strain, or what? Or am I reading that?
No, you're absolutely right. So many people will come in with lung cancer and will find something in the lung, but they'll already have disease in their brain, in their liver, in their bone. So we can't use a surgical technique. But even more profound than that is that, let's say, you know, you're walking the street and you hurt yourself, you go to the emergency room, they find something in your lung, that's removed. It's very small, it's a couple of inches. Even at that point, even though everything looks good, there's still a 30 to 50% chance or more that will come back in 5 years. So even when you don't see it, this disease is so insidious that it can spread. So now, if you have this molecular abnormality, you potentially could be a candidate for this new therapy to keep that from occurring. And that's huge, because I hate to think that people are out there, you're living with this disease, it's been cut out, but I see patients all the time in the clinic and they come in for their scans every 3 months. They're worried, has it come back? So if we can give them something else that they can take every day, that they can tolerate, once a day they take the pill and it can keep them coming back, that'll improve their quality of life, in my opinion. And there's more information, by the way, if you want, on a website called lvng.com. Living with Lung Cancer, that talks a bit more about the trial.
Okay, and so is there a pill out there now?
Well, it's not approved yet. This agent is out there for advanced disease, but these data become part of a profile that will hopefully result in this someday being available to more people. But thank you very much.
All righty, appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I appreciate this important information. Take care.
Oh, bye. No, pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.